Welcome to the podcast. As a listener, you're invited to claim your comp pass for our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. By attending, you'll join our engaged community of founders and executives from over 200,000 leading B2B global organizations. AI won't take your place, but a competitor leveraging it to drive results will. Learn the latest in AI first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to secure your pass. I'd like to welcome everyone to this week's edition of the Consulting Spotlight. And this week we're joined live by James Hipkin. He's the CEO of Innately. And with that, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Michael, I'm really happy to be here. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Fantastic. Same on this end. And, you know, first off, I'm going to start at the top with the name of your company. I love it, Innately. Tell me about that.
Well, the inn is spelt with two N's, like the inn, because we're a full-service premium option for mid-sized businesses. And Innately is the eight comes from our corporate entity, which is Red 8 Interactive, which is builds large custom websites for corporations. It's a roundabout way of saying we actually know what we're doing. Innately is a product that we developed to for smaller businesses who couldn't afford and frankly shouldn't be spending the kind of money that a custom website costs, but needed to access our expertise and knowledge because most of their websites are terrible. And so we created Innately as a solution for this. And then the tagline, of course, is Websites Without Worry, which is kind of a fun little pun as well, because that, of course, the acronym for that is WWW. So we've got a couple of games going on, but we're here to help businesses take their online presence to the next level. They've moved past the DIY, figuring out themselves. Their nephew built them a website, and now they're ready to step up their game. They're not ready for the full-on custom build, nor should they be, but they're ready to take advantage of a more professional, higher level of expertise when it comes to their online presence.
I love it. And I know, obviously, you and your team have worked with some pretty high-end clients on the other end of the business and some household names. But I was wondering, you know, obviously, for our community of consulting organizations that may or may not be familiar with yourself or Innately, can you give us a little bit of your backstory, how you got to where you are, what's going on over there at Innately, and who you're helping?
Well, I spent a long career in high-end marketing and advertising, working with, as you said, some household name brands. My career's taken me to four different countries on three different continents. I've had cross-cultural experience, started my career doing consumer packaged goods, went on to automotive and telecommunications and tourism and financial services, covered a lot of ground over the course of my year. The gray hair is quite legitimate. I've been doing this for a long ass time. And then 12 years ago, I had an opportunity. I was managing a digital budget for Toyota, and I had an opportunity to buy a vendor and wanted to get out of the full-on agency rat race and start to do something a little bit more creative, a little bit more specific. And when I considered, you know, a business only owns two digital assets. They own their website and they own their list. Most of the websites are terrible. And the fundamental flaw that I see over and over again is an absence of strategy. My background is marketing strategy. That's my expertise. So I thought I'll bring my marketing strategy knowledge and experience and insights into this very key digital asset that every business needs to have. And right now, most of them, they suffer a lot from checkboxism. You know, I need a website. Look, my nephew made me a website. Look, I've got a website. Check the box.
I love it.
In this digital age, that's not enough.
Absolutely. And it's amazing, you know, with the volume of platforms and solutions that exist today, a lot of the foundational elements and, you know, things that need to be in place and should be in place are in place, you're right, for a lot of organizations with a lot of the out-of-the-box solutions. But you've identified a big area that's missing from the majority of organizations.
Exactly. Not just their websites, but their marketing writ large. I see so much of what I call inside-out marketing, right? The business owner standing on his rooftop shouting at the world at large and going, my God, I am so awesome. You should come and do business with me. Michael, the world at large doesn't give a rat's ass. You know, the world at large has their own problems that they're trying to solve.
Right.
If you can start focusing in on the problems your key prospects, your best prospects are trying to figure out and support their buyer's journey, because they always go through a buyer's journey. It can bounce around and it can go various, but they're always going to go through these processes. If you're there to support that journey with the information that they need when they need it, you're building relationship, you're building trust, and you're heading them down the marketing funnel to a purchase decision that no longer is a sale. It's the purchase decision becomes the next logical step in their journey. Functionally, it's exactly the same thing, but the mindset shift is so profoundly important, because when somebody has purchased a service from you because it's the next logical, the most sensible thing in the world for them, you've got the potential for a customer for life.
Makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm going to pull on the thread that you exposed in your last statement there. You said that the two assets that any organization owns, and I think this is such a misunderstood, you know, key foundational element. A lot of young entrepreneurs believe that, hey, I'm a TikTok superstar, I'm a YouTuber, I'm a this, that, and the other thing. But at the end of the day, any of those social platforms can shut off your account at the whim of the system or executives or anything. And you are correct. You know, the one thing that you own in your business is your email list. And how do you advise clients when they're, you know, either missing that point or not fully utilizing the asset that they have?
Well, I try to get them to think about it as a means to an end. If I can get them to buy into this idea of outside in versus inside out, of understanding who their best customer avatar, what it looks like, and understanding the kinds of steps, stages, you know, there's a sort of a lazy man's view of this where, well, people are either in the market or they're not in the market. No, that's not correct. You know, they're going to be, at a certain point, they don't have a need for what you're doing, right? If they don't have a need for what you're doing, it really truly doesn't matter how good your marketing is. They're not going to see it. People are exposed to thousands and thousands of marketing messages every day. It's just noise. But when something happens that engages them, gets them to think about, there's an issue here that needs to be addressed, or a problem, or the car broke down, or you know, this software is just not getting the job done anymore, whatever it might be, suddenly they become aware of all of the advertising and marketing. Now, it was always there.
Yeah.
They just didn't see it.
Yeah, I think now they're seeing it. Something like 97% of organizations at the point in time where they enter your marketing ecosphere probably don't need what you're offering, but they entered your ecosphere for some reason. You know, they're
right.
Yep.
So, and it may just be a tickle, but you want to be there with messaging that's appropriate for where they're at. So your top of the funnel communication doesn't need to be profound. It doesn't need to be overwhelming. It just needs to be engaging. And it gets to be engaging when you understand what triggered that response, what triggered that interest in the category, whatever it might be. And then as they move down through the phases, awareness, consideration, prospecting, decision, each one of those phases, stages in their buyer's journey has different requirements. You know, and I sometimes get people to think about it like they would think about search engine optimization, search engine marketing. You have keywords, right? Well, lots of people do keyword research. But the other half of that coin is, okay, this keyword has a lot of volume, but what's the intent? Is the intent informational, which would suggest it's high mid-funnel consideration? Is it commercial, which suggests that it's low mid-funnel prospecting? Is it transactional, which suggests that it's bottom of the funnel decision? Different questions, different obstacles, different things you need to speak to at each one of those stages. Just like when you're doing keyword research and you're balancing search intent with the keyword and all the things that you talk about, the same thing applies to your marketing writ large, but people don't do it.
Can you give us an example in each of those stages where a buyer may be in their journey and some examples of messages that may or may not resonate at the different stages?
Right. Well, informational, for example, is going to be, I'm just sort of researching what my options are. And then, you know, you might develop a blog post that's around sort of, you know, the broad aspects of your business and how to think about, you know, this kind of thing versus that kind of thing. Whereas deeper in the funnel, when it gets down into commercial intent, that's where people are starting their prospecting thing. And that's where like a comparison content might be worthwhile. You know, we're comparing our product suite to the competitors' product suites, yeah. Honestly and objectively, calling out strengths and weaknesses, calling out things, but you're doing it in a way that provides the information to the reader where they're at in their journey, which is lower mid funnel.
So if I'm hearing correctly, everything should point towards your email marketing list, and it's very important to kind of segment your list based on where clients are at in their journey.
Right, exactly. And the email marketing is a great way. Email marketing and in the paid ad side, remarketing. Remarketing is more expensive, but it's very low volume, but it's highly targeted because these are people who've already been to your website. If somebody is been to the website for an informational blog post, then you want to remarket them with an ad that talks to something that's a little deeper in the funnel. So you're there with the information that they need where they're at in their journey. Email marketing, somebody, I often use the classic quiz funnel as an example of this. Top of the funnel might be a fun little quiz that's kind of gamey and entertaining and not terribly profound, right? But it gets people engaged because it catches their attention because they're in market. They'd like to get the results, so they give you your email address. What do you do then? If you immediately go at them with a sales offer, you've broken the pattern. You've broken the journey. That's not what they're looking for. But if you go back to them with, hey, you might find the following three pieces of content of interest to you. Now, these are informational bits of content, et cetera. But when people click the links, you know which link they've clicked. That sends you a message. Take advantage of that message and follow up with another email that supports, moves them further along. Here's some additional content, or were you aware of, or et cetera. We have email programs that are hitting high 70% open rates using these kinds of techniques. You know, when they get, I had a different client, we're in the process. It's a very large corporate client. They have, you know, they'll get a million, their traffic runs over a million per month. Okay. But they have never had e-commerce on the site. All of their sales have been through third-party distribution. And a lot of their content is informational, you know, so, and they've got great rank on a lot of this content. And the marketing manager, we're introducing e-commerce to their website, and he says, well, can't you just take the content we've got on the existing products and just use it in the e-commerce thing? And I said, no, we can't, because your content is optimized for informational keywords. We need to optimize the product listings for commercial and transactional keywords, because it's a different spot in the funnel.
So a lot of the listeners of Consulting Spotlight have smaller consulting practices, maybe in terms of size, but they have some very significant clients, and a lot of times they're really subject matter experts in their area of expertise within technology. So, you know, early on in a career, you know, you may be using different tactics to get in front of your ideal customers. And a lot of those tactics may be referred to as guerrilla marketing tactics, you know, shall we say. And we always like to leave everyone with some actionable ideas. For organizations that are looking to get in front of ideal clients, you know, with some different techniques that may not be traditional, you know, a lot of organizations are doing social and paid ads and cold outreach and automations and all of these traditional techniques. But have you seen some other types of techniques that for consulting organizations seem to bear fruit?
Well, the thing that's often missing is authenticity. They're doing a lot of these things, but the thing is, it's not the things that are the problem. It's the what's the messaging. And the way you get at the messaging is start with your existing portfolio. Most businesses, 80% of their revenue is coming from 20% of their customers. The specific ratio will probably be different. I've seen situations, particularly in financial services, where it's 5 and 95, but the concept is valid. Figure out who those people are and talk to them. Find out what they're all about. Build your avatar and your journey map based on these customers who've already proven successful with you. Then use those insights to craft the messaging that you're using to attract more people like them.
So really not just going through the motions, but actually doing things purposely and within
doing things purposely. Like I said, more often than not, the problem is not the things, the problem is the messaging. When you think about a marketing plan has four components. So you think about it like a three-legged stool. The seat is the objective. Do you have one? Is it smart, right? Is it measurable? Is it realistic? Is it actionable? Then you've got three legs that hold up that. You've got the marketing strategy, which is the customer avatar, the who and the why. And you have the marketing plan. That's the buyer's journey map. That's the how and the when. Are those two things in concert with each other? And then the third leg. Can you guess what the third leg is?
I'm going to let you tell us.
Measurement.
I love it.
Are you measuring what's working? And I mean, there's a reason I have the objective at the top as the seat of the stool, because the measurement is dependent on, you know, brings objectivity to the measurement. The objective brings objectivity to the measurement. And it helps you avoid vanity metrics. Well, I have 5,000 people following me on TikTok. That's awesome. Are any of them your clients?
Are they interact?
We have clients come to us and they're doing all these things. And I said, okay, what? And we'll ask a simple question. So what's working? And they can't answer the question because they don't know. Because they're not measuring.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now, a few weeks back, I know you had an opportunity to speak to our community, and part of what you spoke to the community about was your hub and spoke strategy. Mm-hmm. But for anyone that wasn't in the webinar at that time, can you give us a quick overview of the strategy and what it's all about?
Yeah, all these pieces tightly connect together. The hub and spoke strategy is a way to think about your marketing, because a lot of times people get overwhelmed by all of the choices, the things that they can do, and it all can get all very, you know, lots of shiny things flying around. If you think of the website. Your website is the hub of your digital marketing program. It's where you emanate information out to your audience and where your audience comes back to experience your product. Because the truth of the matter is, people are going to go to the website before they call you. And particularly with millennials and Gen Z, they'll do 60, 70% of their research before they'll ever call. So your website needs to be the hub of what you're doing, because that's where they're going to get the information about you. The spokes of the digital marketing strategy, the channels that you're using to send that information out and to draw people back in. That's where measurement gets involved. You want to be putting your energies into the channels that are actually working, that are actually allowing you to get the right information to the right people, and that those people are actually coming back to follow up on the information. That you learn that through measurement.
So what I'm
and
hearing
the
from
rim,
you is,
it's, the it's, rim that holds the whole thing together is your marketing and messaging strategy. The who and the why. Do you have a consistent, because if you don't have the rim, you got a bunch of shiny pieces that don't have much value. When you have the rim holding it all together, you've got a powerful tool. That the wheel is one of the most fundamental inventions in mankind's history. And you can use that same analogy when you think about your marketing. And you know what happens when you start to think this way? Stuff falls off the table. People stop doing things because they weren't working. And they start putting more energy into the things that are working, which ultimately brings more value to their audience, which brings more value to the business.
So what I'm hearing is it's not always a matter of spending more money. In fact, sometimes spending less money might be just what's called for. It's really more a matter of using a laser to focus and hover in on exactly what needs to be done.
Exactly. From my past, when I was an EVP at an agency in Chicago, we won a piece of business from a large telecommunications company. And the assignment was loyalty, because they were literally losing customers faster than they were gaining customers. Lots of churn. So I went into the marketing director's office and sat down with him, and I said, I need you to spend less money. You know, he damn near fell off his chair. What do you mean? No agency person's ever walked through my door and told me to spend less money. I said, well, you're spending all this money, but you're talking to everybody equally. 80% of your customers don't care, and they're not going to care. You're not that important to them. They're not that important to you. Stop spending money on them. Find the 20% that are actually generating most of your revenue, and let's focus in on them.
And really, it sounds like understanding the problem that you're solving for your customer is a foundational concept in this whole strategy.
That's right.
And figuring out how you're differentiating yourself from others that may be trying to solve that same problem.
Right. And more often than not, it opens up a whole realm of ways that you can be unique, you know, and where you can bring value to them. Circling back to the quiz funnel example that we talked about before, the other end of the quiz funnel could be an assessment survey. Deep in the funnel, they're making a decision. It's a much richer experience, might take 20 minutes, 30 minutes to complete the survey. But if the assessment survey has been crafted carefully, by the time that your best prospect has completed the survey, they've convinced themselves that you are the next best, that you are the best solution for them.
Well, it's funny. Early in my career, I worked for an organization, and they hired an outside agency for big dollars to come in and train every sales rep in the entire company. And what they spent their money on, which was interesting, was the right type of questioning strategy to go through with clients to get to that point. And I think that's very clearly where we're at in terms of, you know, it's so important to help the customer get to the point where they recognize their challenge and recognize your solution as the really the solution to the challenge that they have. And at the end of the day, there's no salesmanship involved or needed. It's really just a matter of having the right fit on all ends. And if it is, it's obviously a win-win.
Yeah. And the other side of it is you're not attracting a bunch of folks who are going to be one-time purchasers.
Exactly.
Right? You're also, because in marketing, it's as important to repel the wrong customers as it is to attract the right customers.
Yeah.
When I took over, I got recruited to be president of an agency in San Francisco. Within 6 months, I'd fired one third of the clients. And you know what happened? Profitability went up, staff turnover went down. We all know how expensive turnover is.
Right. Absolutely.
Right? Because we had a bunch of clients that were just wrong for where the agency was at and where it was going to. We couldn't bring that. We couldn't. It wasn't their fault necessarily. Sometimes it was, but we're not the right organization to bring value to their business.
Yeah. And I think that's a fundamental question I think any business has to ask themselves. You know, which clients see the most value from what we're providing as a solution? And let's attract more of them, you know,
because it's going to be. Which is why I said, find out who your best customers are, go and talk to them.
I love it. So one topic I want to make sure we leave a little bit of time to talk about. So organizations at any level need to, at one point or another, present what they're doing and bring aboard clients. And presentations are not something that you're innately born with, not to use a pun there, but I figured I'd work that in. Not something that you're born with, that you understand how to do, or you're ever trained by your parents or in school or what have you. But are there a few bullet points or tips that you can leave our audience with in terms of how to be a better presenter, how to shine in presentation mode?
Well, these ideas that we've been talking about are fundamental principles, and they can be applied in lots of different circumstances, including in a presentation situation. You know, if you open your presentation by standing on the rooftop of your building and shouting at the world at large about how awesome you are, you're not going to get people engaged with you. But if you open the presentation with a series of questions that demonstrate that you understand the fundamental problems that your audience are wrestling with. You know, one of the techniques that I will use when I'm presenting is I'll have prepared a series of three or four questions, and I'll say, okay, and I'll ask the first question with the full understanding that most of the room is going to raise their hand. And then as I go through the sequence of questions, more and more people lower their hands. Now, what this has done is it's gotten audience engagement. I'm talking about their problems. I'm engaging them mentally and visually. I still haven't told them who I am. But when I do tell them who I am, it's in that context. That's a very simple idea that anybody can use in a presentation situation. And it doesn't take a lot of time. So with it, you know, rather than standing up there, hi, my name is James, and I do this and this and this. I'm talking about these are your problems. Who's got these problems? And who's doing this? And who's doing this? And who's doing this? And gradually the audience, but as each wave of hands go down, the audience leans forward more because they want to know what's coming next.
And you're really honing in and crafting the presentation to the audience.
Honing in, crafting the presentation, because, and I'm making it about them and what their challenges they're facing.
And I think that's magic right there, because I think at the end of the day, if your audience is not tuned in and dialed in and engaged, I think it's obviously more challenging to have a meaningful conversation and dialogue. So.
Right.
That's a great skill.
And when you do that, there's also the question of authority. Mm-hmm. People who are experts don't need to tell the world that they're experts. The world figures it out pretty quickly. The other thing I tell people is, for God's sake, stop presenting the appendix. You know, you want the authority to rest with you as a speaker. which means your slides should be solely visual aids. They should be there to punch key points. One word, two words, three words. You know, you want the audience to be paying attention to you. And every time they're looking at a slide to read something, they're not paying attention to you. The slide is taking your authority away from you.
So let me ask you, for organizations that are looking to dial in their messaging, they have graduated from a Shopify experience or what have you, or traditional WordPress or all of that, and they're looking for a hosted solution, but done correctly, that drills in on all the basic fundamentals, but along with the right strategy. Is that really where Innately fits in?
That's exactly where we fit in. I mean, we use technology. We happen to be WordPress experts, but the point is not the technology.
Right.
The point is the strategy. I'll give you another example that's very website specific. I want people to stop saying call to action, right? Which is pretty shocking when you like, because everybody who's been in business has been told from day one, well, you have to have a call to action.
Right.
You have to have a call to action. Right?
Your call to action should be that next logical step you mentioned earlier in the episode.
Right. But the reality is when somebody gets to your website, a call to action is inside out marketing. It's the marketer shouting at customers and telling them what to do. People don't want to be shouted at and they don't want to be told what to do. But if you call out to them with a people like you pathway, and you invite them down this pathway to learn more information that's relevant to them, because it's a people like you pathway, functionally, it's exactly the same as a call to action. But the mindset shift is really significant and really important, because when they pick that pathway, two really powerful things have happened. They've told you exactly who they are, and they've given you permission to give them more information.
So we're going to leave a link as we're wrapping up, a link in the show notes for anybody that would like to learn more about Innately and everything going on over there in your organization. For the small sub-segment of individuals that are listening to this podcast who may be more of a fit for some of the Red 8 interactive solutions, can you just at a very high level let us know who they would be and how they would know if they were the right fit?
Red 8 Interactive is our fundamental core business, and we build and host and maintain large corporate websites. These are very large sites, a lot of complexity, a lot of API integrations with third-party ERPs and all kinds of different things going on. Most mid-sized businesses don't need all of this.
So if
for a large corporation, it can be very important. We have clients, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah, so maintaining if you're tying into SAP or NetSuite or Salesforce or HubSpot,
yes,
or any of these types of solutions.
We integrate with all of those platforms. Yeah. With ERPs, like for example, we have a high-end kitchen appliance distributor in Florida who's there. They have a two sites. They have a parts site and a dealer site, and both of them are integrated with their ERPs to manage inventory and taxes and all
sure,
the rest
maybe
of that
even
stuff.
Solutions like Microsoft with their Dynamics and other, yeah, other solutions like that.
Right. So that's the large corporate websites. And we manage our own servers. I've got developers and sysops people and content specialists and who do the maintenance on sites. And, you know, we basically run the site for our clients. Innately is a product that's a semi-custom solution that uses the same infrastructure, but it's geared towards mid-tier businesses that don't want to spend $80,000 to have a website built and don't need to. But they do need to get something that's better than what their nephew could do and, you know, is ready to start being more strategic and attracting the right people for the right reasons and drawing them along the people like you pathways, so that when people do engage with you, they've already got a level of relationship and trust.
Well, I'll say, James, every time we speak, we cover more ground than I ever expect we're going to cover. And we've done just the same today. I think we really, you know, got to a lot of very actionable points and topics and things like that that'll be of value to a lot of different listeners in our audience, for anybody that's tuning in to Consulting Spotlight for the first time, we also have two other sister podcasts, the Software Spotlight and the Career Spotlight, for anybody that is in the SaaS space or maybe not in tech right now, but they'd like to get into tech and understand some of the career options and things like that, all available on your favorite podcast player. And once again, we've had James Hipkin, CEO of Innately, here on the Consulting Spotlight this week.
Thank you, Michael. It's been a pleasure sharing my experience with your folks, and it would be awesome to get connected with someone if they're looking to level up their game a little in the marketing side.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for tuning in to the Software Oasis Podcast Network with more than 200,000 listeners each month. You're invited to join our engaged community of B2B founders and executives at our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. Reserve your comp pass today. Get ahead with real AI strategies. Join the first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to claim your spot today.